right. Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, and we have read the book of Jonah, the chapter 1 of Jonah just now. Many of us will be pretty familiar. Yes, Mark, can you just sit over here together with Cheryl? She'll take care of you. Thank you. Many of us would have heard and listened to this big story and the tale of the big whale swallowing up Jonah. And many pictures in storybooks would have shown that. So sometimes it comes to our mind a certain perspective about Jonah. But today we're going to look at what God's word got to tell us about Jonah. And how in chapter 1, we're going to learn about Jonah resisting God's will in his life. So it starts off with by the word, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. It is a very direct, it is a decree coming from the Lord. It is God speaking to Jonah very, very clearly. And Jonah must be a prophet that is very much in touch with the Lord. And together with the other prophets of his time, like Prophet Amos and others, he would be in a situation whereby Israel was sinning against God. Israel was not obeying God's commandments, and God has to send discipline to Israel. And how did God send discipline to Israel? By allowing, permitting Israel's enemies, punishing and tormenting Israel, and didn't give Israel rest. And to the extent that the Israelites really hated their enemies. And who is one of those enemies that they hated? It would be the Assyrians. And the Assyrians are in the eastern side of Israel. And God allowed them to come over and to torment Israel. If there is one word that the Israel is the Jews would hate, would be this word, Ninevites. Because Nineveh is that capital city of Assyria. And those people were wicked. And when they torture their enemies, they have 101 ways of torturing them, which is really cruel. And it will be recorded in history books of the Assyrians and the Ninevites. So any patriotic Jews, any patriotic Israelite would say that if there is one enemy that we want to just kill and fight and just demolish from the face of the earth, it would be this group, the Ninevites. And let's see what God's word God has to say to Jonah. In verse 2, God's word say, arise. Jonah must be wondering, arise what? Arise where? God's word says, go to Nineveh. Wow, if it is going to Nineveh, Jonah probably would imagine, or any Israelites would imagine, that while God is now sending someone to Nineveh, and God will punish the Ninevites, God will make sure that the Ninevites are demolished. But what did God's word say? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Indeed, it is great city, and to add on, that wicked city too. And the Israelites, they know that. And God said, cry against it. Jonah must be thinking, it is about time. Cry against it, demolish it, punish it, rain down all kinds of punishment unto Nineveh. God said, for their wickedness is come up before me. And all these the Israelites know how wicked they are. But Jonah knew God. He knew God so well that when God asked him to go and arise to go to Nineveh and to cry out against Nineveh, he just knew it that God has a purpose of sending him there. And that purpose might not be to demolish Nineveh. And what is that fear inside Jonah? He was so fearful, and he probably has that in mind, that God will be merciful to the Nineveh. And he didn't want God to be merciful to the Ninevites. He wanted God, if at all, to send him there to pronounce judgment and punishment upon Nineveh. So how do we know what is in Jonah's mind? In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, we read there of what Jonah had in mind when God told him to arise. And verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? When I was yet in my country, I have not left anywhere yet. When I was in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. God, you want to know why I fled to Tarshish? For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So basically he said that, God, you will be merciful to the Ninevites. I don't want it. I don't want you to be merciful to the Ninevites. In my heart, and as any patriotic Israelites, we want Ninevites to be demolished. Not for them to come into repentance and to be Christians and to believe in the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So the thing is that, what does Jonah do? Jonah thinks that he is cleverer than God, and Jonah thinks that his way is better than God's way. So in verse 2, when God says, arise, go to Nineveh. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It is as if Jonah thinks that if I were to run to a far away place, God will not be able to find me. And when he's not able to find me, he's not able to send me into Nineveh. Now, where is Nineveh? Nineveh is on the eastern side of Israel, and it's about 500 miles away from Israel. And that's quite a journey. If you were to walk, if you were to sit on animals, it's really quite a journey to go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? He said that I will flee to Tarshish. And where is Tarshish? Tarshish is in the west. And Tarshish is a place, as I've mentioned it before to some of the Filipino brothers and sisters, it's a place that they are probably quite familiar with, because they're familiar with the culture at least. And who conquered Philippines, and Philippines became a colony of one particular nation? Spain. That's why you have your Baboy Manok. Lechon Baboy. Yeah, Lechon Baboy, which is your roast pig, right? That is like in Spain. Tarshish is 2,000 miles away from Israel in Spain. And so Jonah said that if I were to run the opposite direction, I will not run 500 miles. I will flee 2,000 miles away into this far away land, in the land of Spain, Tarshish, 2,000 miles. And from Nineveh to Tarshish is 2,500 miles. God, let's see whether you can find me. Sorry, I'm not going to obey your will. You ask me to arise, it's like, but I will flee. I will run the opposite direction. And so in verse 3, but Jonah rose up. Sometimes we rise up to do the wrong things. When God asks us to arise and do something for him, to serve him, or to do his will, we will arise and do our own will. And that's what Jonah did. But Jonah rose up, at least that part, he obeyed, rose up. But it was the opposite. To flee unto Tarshish, and to flee from whom? To flee from his family, to flee from his friends, to flee from any other person, to flee from the presence of the Lord. Did Jonah know his theology? Can he really run away from the presence of the Lord? Well, let us see in Psalm 139 and verses 7 to 10. And let us see what the psalmist said about fleeing from the Lord. And how far can we flee from the Lord? And wouldn't Jonah knew it already? And this was a psalm that was written by David, Psalm 139 and verse 7 to 10. And I'll read this to you. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I go from thy spirit, God? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Well, at least David knew it, but Jonah conveniently forget it. He's going to run to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. And David said, verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. David knew he can't run away from God. He can't run away from hiding things from God. Remember that David thought that he had covered up after he had gone into with Bathsheba and had that son. And God had to bring prophet Nathan to say, thou art the man. He thought that God would not know. Wow. What about us? Are we running away from something? Are we running away from God? Are we saying that, God, this particular sin that I do, I think that I'm going to hide it from you? Can we hide anything from God? The psalmist, David, King David, said, no, we can't. We can't hide anything from God. And Jonah tried to outrun God and to hide away from God, from the presence of the Lord. And where did he go? He went down to Joppa. It is a port city, a seaport. So in those times, there were these big ships coming in and out using the Mediterranean Sea, and there will be lots of businesses done, trading, cargo, and there'll be passengers moving from this part of the world in Israel to the other parts of the continent of Europe. So Joppa would be a good place where probably he can find a ship, get into it, and run away. Now, God could have stopped Jonah. God didn't. God just see, well, what is this Jonah up to? What is he continuing to do? So he flee from wherever the Lord has spoken to him, and he went down to Joppa, that seaport city. And he found a ship. He said that, oh, wow, this is wonderful, isn't it? This must be God's will. Everything is going smoothly according to my plan. God asked me to go to Nineveh, and God want me to go and tell the gospel to them and say how wicked they are. I knew it. God is so merciful. I have my own way. I'm going to outwit God. I'm cleverer than God. God, I think that this round, I am smarter than you, right? Because everyone in Israel want to see the demolition of Nineveh. You want to ask me to go there? I knew what you are thinking. You want to save them. If I preach, they all will come to believe in the Lord. I purposely don't want to do that. I will do the opposite. And you know what? Everything is moving smoothly. I go to Joppa, no problem. And I went there, I found a ship, no problem. And the ship is going to Tarshish. How wonderful. Thank God, it is God's will, right? I am running away from God. And he even had the money. God even provided him with sufficient money and he paid the fare. I don't know how expensive it is from Joppa, which is 2,000 miles away from Israel. That would be quite a sum of money. Paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Jonah must be thinking, you know what? I've got to Joppa, I've got the ship, I've paid the fare, and now I am inside the ship. Huh, God, I've just outwitted you. Don't call me. I will not be coming back. All right? And gone down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. To go with them, the people who are in that boat. The people who are, well, in that ship. Because going into the Sea of Mediterranean, it would not be a sampan, it would not be a small boat, it would not be a tugboat. It would be quite a sizable ship to go using the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, right? All the way to Spain. You'll pass by Greece, you'll pass by Italy, and all the way to Spain. Must be quite a ship. And what did he say he wanted to do? I want to run away from the presence of the Lord. It is very clear Jonah's intention and what he has planned to do. He wants to run away from the presence of the Lord. That was in verse 3, because in verse 3, Jonah said, but, well, all right, God will say that you can play your game, Jonah. I am still in control. God is God who created the heavens and the earth. God wants Jonah to go over to Nineveh. You can have your verse 3, but. But the verse 4, but, is from the Lord. Let's see verse 4. But, you want to play a game with God? Let's not play a game with God. God knows us very well. We want to run away from God. We want to sin against God in the way that God does not know. I can tell you that as I am speaking this and preaching this message to you, I'm preaching this to myself. We have our own but. We have our own ways. God has his way, which is higher than our ways. His thoughts that are higher than our thoughts. But, well, if we are into God's reverse gear for us, be prepared. We might be in for a journey. And verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. God could have sent a wind, but this is a great wind. God did not send any other ships to come and collide with the ship. God did not send any other things, an earthquake or whatever. But here it is a great wind. God, and who sent out this great wind? The Lord. The Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he sent out. He hurled out. He just pushed out the great wind. And what kind of great wind? How great is the wind? And there was a mighty tempest. We have a great wind. We have a mighty tempest. It could be a tempest. Tempest means a big storm. A big storm. But this is not only a big storm. This is a mighty storm. We could probably imagine. There is one particular thing in the amusement park that will kill me. Oh, If it doesn't kill me, it'll send me to a stroke. It is this thing called Viking, like this ship that goes up and down like this. I don't know how many of you tried it, but every time I tried it, my heart is left up there and my body is below, right? And this mighty tempest, the whole ship will be like the Viking, right? Up and down, swinging and up and down. It is a mighty tempest. And it is very scary. And what happens? So that the ship, okay, here we have it. It's the ship. It's not a small boat. The ship was like to be broken, was about to be broken. When something is about to break into pieces, you can probably hear crackling sound. You can probably hear things that the structure of the ship will be affected, and many parts of the ship would be beaten by the sea, by the tempest, by the storm. It is such a big commotion. You can imagine in that time, there were people in the ship. They'll be screaming. They'll be thinking, what is happening? And they'll be helping themselves. And they probably realize that it's about time to die. Why? Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. Who were the mariners? The mariners were the sailors. These sailors have been sailing the Mediterranean Sea, and what kind of mighty storm have they not seen? They have been there, done that. They are experts. They are professionals. They are able to weather through any storm that may come their way. But this storm is a mighty, mighty storm, mighty tempest, that verse 5 said the mariners were afraid. If the mariners were afraid, something is terrible. It is something that make the captain, make the mariners, make the sailors who have been there, done that, they've seen all this. If they were afraid, and what do they do when they were afraid? It must be so frightening because their lives were at stake. And they cried, every man unto his God. I don't know what kind of mariners that might be. It might be from different nationalities. I'm not sure whether Filipinos will be inside there. But there'll be different nationalities. The sailors, these mariners, and they're from different parts of the world. They have got their different gods. They've got their animal gods. They have got their weather gods. They've got their sea gods. They've got their fish gods. They have got their whatever god. And every man cried unto his God. Whatever that God is, they just burst out and cried, shout out, help. If there is a God of fish, just come and help. If there's a God of moon, there's a God of sun, there's a God of rain, whatever. Every man unto his God. And they cast forth the wares. You can imagine the whole commotion inside that big ship. The mariners were afraid. They were crying. They were praying. Probably they were not religious people until now. And then they were taking their wares. They were taking their cargo. And I don't know what kind of cargo. It might be spices. It might be grains. It might be jewelry or whatever. There's so many kind of things. And they brought their cargo, their wares that were in the ship. And what did they do? They cast them forth into the sea. They find that the ship is not balanced now. The whole thing is going awry. And with this big tempest and big storm, they threw those things into the sea. For what purpose? To lighten it of them. Just to rebalance the whole thing. And probably say that with such kind of bombardment from the waves, the ship may not be able to take it. Never mind. This cargo we can earn back. Our lives, we are at stake now. We cannot get back our lives. And what happened if this ship were to go into the sea and it breaks? We'll be right deep down into Mediterranean Sea. Gone down. Okay. Lightened of it. There is another but. now in verse 5. This but Jonah. With this whole commotion happening, our dear Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. Remember, he already went down when he was at Joppa, found the ship, he go down. Nobody know me. It's all right. I am come here incognito. Nobody knows me. And he found a little place, and he lay down, and he was fast asleep. When would be a time that you can sleep? When you have peace in your mind. So peaceful. No worries at all. So at last, you know what? I am in this journey to Tarshish. God, goodbye. I don't think I'll see you for a while. And sorry, you can't find me in Israel. In case you don't know, I'm in the ship. And since I'm running away from you, and I'm so sure I've succeeded, because so far, so good. And I fell asleep. So Jonah fell asleep when all the mariners, the people, they were trying to throw out the cargo, and people were crying to their gods. You can imagine, yeah, in your mind's eye, the whole commotion. And this Jonah was sleeping. It doesn't mean that when things seemingly go right with your lives, when we are running away from God, when we are resisting God's will, whatever God's will it is for you or for me, only you know, only I know. And if you think that, you know what, things are running pretty smoothly, I think I've succeeded it, it is my way, and I can go to sleep, and it is perfectly fine. It doesn't mean that when you have that lull, when you have that peace, when you have that serenity for that moment, it doesn't mean that it is necessarily God's will. And Jonah, at that moment, he was able to fall asleep, thinking that nobody knew me here. Nobody asked who I am. And God would also not know who I am. I'm going to run away. Verse 6. So the shipmaster was thinking, you know what? I knew every other person as a shipmaster, the captain, who come into my ship. And every other mariners were crying aloud for their gods. And people are throwing cargo. Strangely, there is this man from Israel, I mean, who came from Joppa, that I didn't see. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "Hey, what meanest thou, O sleeper?" You can sleep, huh? In this kind of tempest, in this kind of storm, you can sleep. You must have got a lot of peace, huh? God in verse 2 said, "Jonah, arise." Now the shipmaster said, "Arise." You want God to play a game with you? You can't outplay God. We can't outwit God. God is now using the shipmaster to say, "Jonah, arise." So, not only arise, because every other gods have been called. No answer. And probably the shipmaster would have called for his gods too. No answer. And since every other person's gods have been called, is this one, this sleeper, this Jonah. "Arise! You call upon thy God." That's the only God that has not been called. This one, you, whoever you are. Yeah? "Call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." So everybody has already called. You're sleeping. You must be quite confident. So arise. Call upon your God. Jonah must got a root shock. I said, what's happening? Was there something happening? Right? And the cargo already left the ship. The mariners were already screaming and crying, and for mariners to be screaming or even crying for their life, they are strong men. The ship was about to break, and the shipmaster knew it, that it's cracking already, it's about to break. So, verse 7. And they said, everyone to his fellow. Can you imagine when the shipmaster found him? All the other people came and looked at Jonah, right? And they, this is all of them in the ship, the mariners and the rest. And they said, everyone to his fellow, hey, come. You won't believe what the shipmaster has found. You won't believe it. Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. Not only do they see Jonah, but now they're going to cast lots. Why cast lots? Because they are at their wits' end. They don't know what is happening. And they say that probably one of us has sinned horribly. And if we were to cast lots, then probably somehow the gods of this world will show us who that person might be. The gods of this world will not be able to dictate God's will, the Almighty God's will, the God of the heavens and the earth. But God will allow the mariners to even cast lots. And while the lots were being cast and the dice and all those were being rolled out and the whole motion, when the whole ship was going up and down and with the tempest and the wind, that lot fell upon Jonah. Is it because of the lots? No, it's because of God. God even used the lots that were thrown out by the others, the mariners and the shipmaster, and it fell on Jonah. Now the people were thinking that, oh dear, it has actually fallen on one person. And Jonah must be thinking, you know what? I think this is it. I thought I could run away from God. I thought I was able to have such peace in my mind, and I was a bit tired, and I slept in the ship. And now that I realize that there is this big tempest out there, I think I know who sent it. And then now that you guys are casting lots and it fell on me, Jonah, I really know who caused all this thing, this big tempest, big storm. So verse 8, then said they, all those people who were gathered round, unto Jonah. Tell us, Jonah, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. Jonah, who are you? And why is this evil upon us? What? Okay, since you have not introduced yourself, Mr. Jonah, and we are all mariners, and we know each one of us, and traders, but you are a strange person. We have not met you before. And you were asleep down there, and the lot fell on you. Introduce yourself. This chemistry is in the midst of the storm, the sea, right? The waves, the wind, and the Viking effect up and down. What is thine occupation? Probably they can't even hear themselves. There's such loud tempest, a storm. And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Quickly tell us, this lot fell on you. Come, tell us who you are. And verse 9. And Jonah, and he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew. Oh. And I fear the Lord. Then they must be like holding their breath. Lord of what? The God of heaven, which hath made what? Made the sea. And the dry land, the mariners must be thinking. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Why did you do this? What What on earth did you do to sin against that God of heaven and the earth? And we are now in this big storm. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. At last, our dear Jonah had to spill out the beans and tell. He's my God, and I'm running away from him. What? The mariners must be thinking. Then said, verse 11, then said they unto him. They were quite polite. Because since he is a worshiper of the Lord God Almighty, they were quite polite. What shall we do unto thee? What shall we do to you, Jonah? That the sea may become unto us. What shall we do to you? Should we pray to your God? Should we do what? What should we do? We don't even know what we should do. For the sea roared and was tempestuous. While they were talking this, the whole ship was going up and down. Right? The tempest, great storm. And Jonah said unto them, all right, I think that's it. Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Jonah could even know that this is the way to calm the sea. And Jonah would say that, God, I thought you wouldn't catch up with me. You're quite fast. Yeah? And in order for this whole sea to be calm, I guess the only way, just throw me into the sea. Let me perish. Can you imagine that sea, that tempestuous sea? Anybody who go down into the sea, if the ship can break, what about a human being? If you throw the person into the sea, definitely the human being, even if he can swim, however great a swimmer you may be the best Olympian swimmer, you will still drown because it is too much of a rage. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah knew that this event came because of him. Sometimes in our lives, when we face certain difficulties in our life, we may come to a prayer meeting and say, please pray for me, I am this and that. But actually in our heart we say that, God, I think I know why. I think I know why I'm going through this. Because I did not obey you in that certain matter, right? I knew it. I just knew it. Jonah knew it. And Jonah knew it, said that, that's it. I cannot run away from the presence of the Lord. I might as well be engulfed into the sea. God, you can take my life. I have disobeyed you. I've resisted your will. You can take my life. And this will be the only solution. And Jonah is so sure of that solution. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. Can you imagine? The man say that, Jonah, throwing you inside? Nola, cannot be, right? Cannot be. Let's take our row and just row and row and row and get to dry land. And probably by then all of us will be saved and bring it to dry land. But they row and they row and they row and they row, but they could not. For the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Huge, huge kind of tempest. And verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it as it pleased thee. They were not even worshippers of God. And suddenly they called out the name of the Lord. And suddenly they know that this could be it. This is the man that has resisted God's will. And God is disciplining and punishing. Call unto the Lord God. Jonah asked us to throw him out. But you know what? Throwing him out means he will die. And we don't want to be part of this crime, this throwing him out. Please forgive us. We beseech thee. Let us not perish. So they prayed to God and say that, God, forgive you. Understand. And verse 15, so they have no more other solution. No more solution. So they took up Jonah and they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. At last, for a moment, Jonah did not fight. Jonah did not resist. Pick me up. Just pick me up, right? Pick me up and cast forth into the sea. Can you imagine? In that rage, it's still like that going on, and cast Jonah into the sea. And the sea ceased from a raging zoom. Just quietened down. You must see, there must be a great shock. Then the men feared the Lord. And how do they fear the Lord? Exceedingly. So scared until they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And they've forgotten about the God of the animals, the God of the sun, the God of whatever. They just offered unto the Lord and worship God. Well, if there's one thing, hopefully, if it is really repentance, these people have become Christians. So Jonah went into the sea. There could be many, many things that could happen. Jonah could have died. Jonah could have sunk straight to the bottom of Mediterranean Sea. And what else would be in the sea? Sharks. Sharks could have come, zap, it's dinner time, and eat up Jonah, tore him apart. And honestly, I'm quite scared of very, very dark parts of the sea. You never know what is happening. It's lurking. And with a thunderstorm, which means that it's dark, it's horrible. And then Jonah went down into the sea. Any other sea creatures might be able to come and hurt him. But the sea was calm, immediately calm. And verse 17, now the Lord had prepared. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. God did not send a shark. God sent a fish that could swallow up Jonah and make sure that Jonah is still alive. And God sent a fish that has a mouth that is so big that Jonah could actually go in. And the fish has such a big belly, a big stomach, that Jonah could actually go in and probably still be there, standing up or swimming around, right? So, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Do we want to try to outrun God? Do we want to resist God? Do we want to be cleverer than God? And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So far as Jonah is concerned, it is forever. Jonah did not have the book of Jonah. All right? And Jonah did not know how many days he will be inside there. And Jonah did not even know what has swallowed him. Is it an octopus? Or is it a whale? Is that a what? But God says it's a big fish. So we shan't speculate what that fish is, okay? I mean, it could jolly well be a whale, but God did not say what it is, but it is a fish, a great fish that swallow up Jonah. So the lessons that we can learn until here. And next week, you will listen to the real speaker, right? That is Reverend Gordon Ferguson. The lessons we can learn here. Don't resist God's will. And you and I know what God wants us to do. At the back of my mind, in our hearts. Because when God revealed his word to us, God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to our hearts, our lives, individually. And the message may get to you, get to you, get to you, get to me. Different application. First, salvation. Are you saved in the Lord? If you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, believe in him today. God sent you to Lucky Plaza, this place, for a purpose. So that's the first thing that you must sort out with God. And then your living, the things that you do, or the unaccomplished tasks, or the sin that we have so loved that we say, God, it's all right. I'm running to Tarshish. You won't know. I'm hiding from you. You won't know. God knows. God knows us at Joppa. God knows Jonah in the ship. God knows how to deal with Jonah. God knows how to deal with you and me in different ways, to different people, different ways. God can even wait. God waited for Jonah to think, I'm in a cruise ship, I can sleep. God says that I will send a tempest. I will send something to your life to shake you up. Is God going to send something in our lives to shake us up? Don't talk about other people yet. Talk about ourselves. It is a time of meditation, a time of reflection, a time of saying, God, as you have dealt mercifully with Jonah, you will deal mercifully with me. And I end with this thing. What are you running away from? Only you know. Only I know. And God knows very well. Don't play a game with God. But whatever it is that God will bring to our lives, it's meant for our good. For all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But as God already told the earthly parents, you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. God will discipline us. If we are not disciplined, then we are not God's children. But if we are disciplined because of our own sin, we say, thank you, God. Forgive me. And we come back to God. So let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, as thou hast dealt with Jonah, deal with us. But we just pray for your mercy. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We know the punishment and the discipline we deserve, but we plead for thy mercy. Lord, do it in your own way, for your own glory, that we might be drawn closer to you. Let us not run from you, for whatever that thing that we are running from, we ask for your forgiveness. And we pray for any one of us here who have not believed and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that today will be the day of salvation. And we pray for thy mercy to be upon even if it is one soul. So, Father in heaven, we are going to pray this prayer, and we're going to pray this before you. And brothers and sisters, we'd like all of you to pray together with me so that if anyone here has not believed in the Lord, he or she can say this prayer meaningfully in his or her heart, and he or she will be a child of God today. Let's pray this audibly together with me. Father in heaven, I admit, let's all pray together so that all your other friends will not feel shy, and if they have not believed, they will also pray and that they can accept the Lord. Father in heaven, I admit I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Make me your child. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanse me from all my sins, my past sins, my present sins, my future sins. I commit myself to you to live a life according to your will. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer for the first time meaningfully in your heart, you have become a child of God, cleansed of your sins.